Okay, everybody, here I am again with chapter 2 of 50 Shades of Nay. And if you can hear, that's Bella, my cat. She's quite noisy, I'm sorry if you can hear that. But she wants cuddles right now. Okay, let's just jump right into it. Chapter 2. My heart is pounding. I am so agitated that I stand poetically in the rain and indulge in a whole 2 paragraphs of repetitive introspection before getting into the car. No man has ever affected me in the way that Crispian May has. Is it because he's courteous and attentive and the only man to ever pay attention to me? Or is it because he's really, really rich? I have a strange fizzy feeling in my panties, and I don't understand it. When I get home, Kate is feeling much better. Just fucking die already, she hisses through clouds of sweet-smelling smoke. Our friend Jesus is sitting next to her on the sofa, both of them hunched over video game controllers. The room resounds with the mashing of buttons and the moans of computer game zombies. I'm back, I say, feeling more insignificant than ever. Did someone really pay attention to me for a whole 40 minutes? Normally, I just fade into the background, like now. They don't even look at me. Hijo de puta, says Jesus. He's ethnic. His second name is Rivera. Get him, get him! Get the axe, Jesus, the fucking axe! Excuse me, I murmur. I'm back. Excuse me. The screen goes red and Kate slumps back in her seat, throwing down the controller. Oh, hey, she says, spotting me at last. How was the interview? Oh, great. She's just going to interrogate me now. I don't want to talk about it, I say. Okay. Kate reaches over the arm of the sofa and brings out a tall plastic cylinder. There's a little metal funnel sticking out of the side of it, and this she burns with a cigarette lighter, before putting her mouth to the top of the cylinder and breathing in all the smoke. What's that? I demand. Sometimes I worry about Kate. She has a lot of boyfriends and goes out a lot. She has mood swings, too. I saw a thing on CNN once. I think she might be doing drugs. Cold medicine, she says in a high, breath-held voice. She passes the thing to Jesus. So what happened to you? Did the Crispian May try to stick his hand up your skirt? I said I didn't want to talk about it. Bullshit, Hela. I know you. When you say, I don't want to talk about it, you want us all to kiss your boo-boos and tell you everything's going to be okay. Tears well in my eyes. Why are you being so mean to me, Kate? I whisper. I whimper. She sighs. It's like this, Hannah. You know those Twilight books you love? You know how there's that one blonde vampire Bella hates, the one who's ultimately only there to voice the author's opinion on abortion and babies? Rosalie, I say. Yeah, Rosalie. I'm like that. I'm kind of like Rosalie, only I smoke a fuck a lot more, Jiva. Dios mío, says Jesus, who is Mexican. It's come to this already? Cheap meta tricks? Kate shrugs. What can you do, man? Have you read the original? It pretty much parodies itself. What's Jesus doing here, I ask. I have a cold too, coughs Jesus. Holy crap, Kate must be really contagious. His eyes are already red. I'm so confused. Why did she ask me to go and do the interview when she knows I can barely cross the street without causing a traffic accident? Why is it that I was born in 1991, but I don't know how to use email? What the hell is Skype? And why the fuck? fuck does my no-no place feel all tickly? Jesus and Kate are staring at me. I didn't say all that out loud, did I? I say, flushing scarlet. No, Kate shakes her head emphatically. No, even. Fine, I huff irritably. When you're all done with the third degree, I'm going to go off to work. At my job. Which I have. Well done, you, says Kate, picking up the plastic tube again. Maybe this evening you can call your mom, in case any of the readers were unclear on the fact that you're some kind of placental mammal. Thank you. Yes, I'll do that. When I get back from my job at the toy store, I call my mother, who lives in Florida. There is a continent between us, and yet she still manages to gross me out. She has three husbands and lives in what she calls an anarcho bisexual polyamorous collective. I don't know what that is, but she sends me a lot of macrame potholders. Have you met a boy, Hannah? It's the first thing she asks me. No, I murmur down the phone. Yes. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, it's not important. Are you coming to my graduation? Well. So that's a no? Honey, it's complicated. Uncle Shet and Uncle Tate are going through something together, and it's a very delicate situation. It's taken Chet a long time to get over his internalized homophobia and realize the importance of the root chakra within a loving and consensual relationship. They really need our support right now. I hold the receiver away from my ear and stare at it for a moment, as if it might provide some physical clue as to the meaning of the strange sounds coming out of it. I don't understand, I say. I know you don't, Pookin. Sometimes I wonder how you ever came out of my yoni. What's a yoni? Hannah, baby, I have to go. I have a crystal healing in half an hour, and you called right after Uncle Bob and finished making love to my anus. I must shower. So must I. I shower and dry my hair and put on my night clothes and get into my bed under the covers. When I sleep, my dreams are full of strange pastel-colored gilts, $5 striped fedoras from Target, and other stone obvious references to what happens in Chapter 1. I wake up confused and needing to pee. I work in a small toy store. I used to work at a hardware store, but they fired me after I tripped over the hem of my jeans and landed with my face less than half an inch from the blade of a large circular saw. The saw wasn't running or anything, but I'm told it could have easily cut my head in two, so I agreed to leave. The manager was very nice about it and wrote to his friend Mr. Claypool, who runs the toy store. He even gave me a reference. I feel safe in the toy store. There have been accidents, like the time when I fell over a nickel someone had dropped on the floor of the stockroom, or the incident when I nearly removed my spleen with a box cutter, but on the whole, a toy store is a good place for someone as big-eyed, long-legged, and winsomely uncoordinated as me. I can sit and check off the inventory in the soft play area, and Paul Claypool even found me one of those padded helmets designed for children with epilepsy or behavioral difficulties. Paul Claypool is the owner's son. I think he likes me, and he's very kind, but I want someone dark and mysterious, someone who has secrets and a dark past. And money. Maybe. Not that money is important to me, no. I am eating a bagel for my lunch. They don't let me have cutlery, not even plastic, when I am suddenly conscious of a mysterious presence. Thinking it might be ghosts, I look up and see a pair of chocolate brown eyes blinking inquisitively at me. Holy crap. Nay. Well, he says, fancy seeing you here. I scramble out of the ball pen and remove my head guard. My bagel sinks to the bottom of the pen, as forgotten and unloved as a bad extended metaphor. There it will linger for at least 2 weeks and probably constitute a health hazard and grounds for litigation. I work here, I quiver, my heart going 10 to the dozen. Cool, he mutters, adjusting his fedora. Do you always have lunch in the bullpen? His voice is melting and tender, like sous vide chicken pressed with the Fontina cheese sauce, or something. Oh, yes, I say, my knees trembling dangerously. I wish I hadn't removed the head guard. I'm in severe danger of falling and braining myself on the corner of the nearest shelf. My hair looks weird. I do inventory there too. It's not so bad once you get used to the smell of child pee. I see, he murmurs, looking directly at my lips. Oh my. The strange tickly feeling is back. I think I might faint. Can I help you with something, Mr. Ney? I fumble, tripping over my words. My hands are clammy and my underpants aflame. He's a man. A man? I've never talked to one of those before, well, except for Jesus and Paul Claypole and a bunch of other guys, but they're not romantic and sexy and fascinating and filthy, stinking, dirty, rich. What? Nothing. Who are you? Italicized voice inside your head. Nothing to worry about. Carry on. Crispian Ney removes his hat. There is something I want, he says, with peculiar emphasis. His eyes are all smoldery. Yes, I gibber, meeting his sensual gaze with reluctant but also strange stirring deep down inside places I have never explored before. I was never much for spelunking. And I suppose you can figure out for yourself, he whispers, that I always, always get what I want. Yes, Mr. Ney, I blither, my underpants feel funny. I'm a very wealthy man, Miss Squeal, he pouts. I try to answer him, but when I open my mouth, the only thing that comes out is a long, sort of drawn out, noise. So, he says, closing my mouth with his forefinger, I want you to find me the Rarities Carriage playset. I nod and take him to the pink aisle, the little girl's toy aisle. This one, I say, taking a My Little Pony from the shelf. Oh no, his gaze has turned cold. He pinches the bridge of his nose with his fingers, his perfect fingers with those delicate orange crescents under the fingernails, and sighs slowly. I said rarity, Miss Squeal, he says. This is obviously Twilight Sparkle. I'm sorry. I want to run away and asphyxiate myself in the ball pen. I wonder how much self-harm I can inflict with a toy lightsaber. I don't understand. I know you don't, he says, and it's like the bright dark moon coming out from behind a cloud. His voice is fragrant with meaning again, and I'm basking like a dizzy drunk lizard in the chocolate sun of his beautiful eyes. He's a god, an Adonis. He's the most exquisite male animal I've ever met in my life, and I want to have his fucking babies. I may as well admit it to myself. I quite like him. You're innocent, Hannah, he murmurs, standing so close that I can smell his pungent, plangent male musk. It's like cinnamon and wood spice and all things nice. You're innocent and unspoiled. Not like those shallow sluts who only want me for my money. You're not even wearing makeup, are you? I shake my head. Every time I try to put it on, I end up looking like a drunk clown. I'm so bad at everything. I came looking for rarity, he whispers, mysterious as the misty Andes or the faraway islets of the Langerhans. Maybe I found her. I try to talk, but I just end up making the noise again. He closes my mouth again, this time with a peculiar tenderness. Here, he says, handing me a business card, my cell number. Call me. He takes the toy from the shelf and sweeps off towards the checkout, leaving me breathless, bereft, bemused, and somewhat illiterate. He's so freaking hot. He's so freaking rich. Shut up, Italics. Who asked you? When I get home, Kate is standing in front of the mirror in the hallway, wearing her graduation gown and posing, a rolling pin standing in for her sheepskin. What do you think? She says, smiling. Teeth or no teeth? I have this recurring nightmare that I'll stress eat at the buffet, eating a bunch of broccoli quiche or something, and my graduation photo will feature a big glob of green shit right between my front teeth. She smiles at the mirror again, this time with her lips closed. But that looks smug as hell. Maybe I'll just take my chances with the arugula and Photoshop it after the fact. Kate, I say, still quivering with confusion. I need to talk to you. Okay, she says, taking off her cap. What's up? He was at the toy store. Who? Him. Crispian Ney. She looks annoyed for a moment and then begins to giggle. What was he buying in a toy store? No, no, don't tell me. Star Wars? Was it Star Wars collectibles? Figures he'd be into something like that. What do you mean? I ask, my face hot and my bowels hotter. Something like that? He's a nerd, Hannah. He's like king of the nerds. As soon as he made his first million, he dropped like 100,000 at auction on some piece of yak hair that comprised the original Chewbacca's original ass. You know, Scarlett Johansson? You know how fucking hot she is? Well, she didn't even blip on Crispian Ney's radar until she started doing the superhero movies. Then he was like, oh, Scarlett, call me. I fucking love you and shit. And she was like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, Cheeto Fingers. I'm screaming before I even know it. He called her another woman, a beautiful woman, a blonde? Shut up! I yell, freaked to the foundations by the idea of Crispian being dragged into this world of vulgar gossip and rich sluts who only want him for his money. You shut the fuck up, Kate. You don't know him. You don't care about him. I'm crying. But Kate has pressed the handle of the rolling pin under the tip of my nose, squishing it up like a pig's nose. Hey, she says, don't make me use this, Hannah. Jesus Christ, what the hell is eating you lately? Nothing, I sniff, pushing away the rolling pin. He can just call up Scarlett Johansson. Oh my God, you like him? I turn away and hide my face, ashamed of my own existence. I'm a mousy brunette in a world of hot blondes, I manage to say. Look, says Kate, her hand on my shoulder. Hannah, you got to get over yourself. You're kind of mousy, maybe, but there's nothing a little confidence won't cure. And see someone about that inner ear thing, maybe. I sob all the harder. My life is a tomb, black and cold and full of dead things. And bats. Probably bats, and maybe some kind of rising damp. Hannah, stop crying, says Kate. You're not that bad. Actually, when you're not falling over, bleeding from the nose, or screaming crazily about sluts, you're kind of pretty. Okay, so maybe not rising damp. I sniff hard and turn around to face her. I don't feel pretty. I'm red in the face from bawling, and I still have that weird hair thing from the padded helmet they make me wear at work. I am, I say. Sure, you're hot. You're a hottie. Once you get those split ends cut off and learn to use eyeliner properly, you'll be fucking fierce. And obviously, you know, stop dressing like the back room in an Amish rummage sale. I shake my head. It's no use. He'd never look twice at someone like me. Kate sighs. What the hell did that shitlord say to you to make you feel like this? I swallow, my throat like a lump of iron. He said, call me. Kate folds her arms and narrows her eyes. He said what? She says, her voice soft and dangerous. He said, call me, I say, and hand her the card. And he gave me this. I take my phone out of my macrame purse and hand it to her. When she begins to dial, I panic. No, Kate, what are you doing? What are you doing? She holds the rolling pin aloft over my head, and by the look in her eye, I don't doubt that right now she would use it. Why am I always surrounded by crazy people? With her other hand, she holds the ringing phone to her ear, and while I want to scream, I'm conscious that she's about to smack me quite hard over the head with a heavy lump of wood. To my utter astonishment, when she opens her mouth to speak, the voice that comes out is mine. Hi, she says. It's Hannah here? You said I should call you? Kate? I hiss. She gives me an evil look and adjusts her grip on the rolling pin. Okay, she continues in my voice. Oh crap, do I really sound so Wisconsin? Yeah, okay, that'll be great. I'll see you there. Bye. She hands me back the phone. You have a date, she says, thin-lipped. Tomorrow, in the Starbucks near the Heathman. He wants to have coffee with you. But I hate coffee, I say. I prefer tea. Kate makes a low, long hissing sound like air escaping from a tire. You know what it is, Hannah, she says slowly. You're perfectly okay looking. In fact, with the right clothes and makeup, you'd be a knockout. The bigger problem is that you're an asshole. And that was the end of chapter 2. So it started to rain. My cat climbed on my neck. And I think the microwave went off. But hopefully you still enjoyed that, because I certainly did. I read these without looking at them first. So I do have to stop and react. Try not ruin it for you by laughing. I don't attractive laugh, but see you next time.